Okay, well, we're in a series here called The Miracles of Jesus. The Miracles of Jesus. Friends, I'm here to encourage you tonight with this word, that God has got something great in store for you. He has a miracle for you. What is it that you're needing tonight? Is it deliverance from drugs and alcohol? Is it healing in your physical body? Is it financial provision or peace on the inside? What is your need? God is the meter of every single need. Your miracle is right around the corner. God is the giver of all good things. Don't let anyone or anything tell you differently. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew 7:11, he said, "If you then being evil or having the sin nature know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" God is the giver of good things. He's the author of good things. God is not to blame for your problem. God is not the cause of the bad thing that you've gone through. What does James write in James 1:16-17? He says, "Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights." God has got something good for you, friend. Remember, when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago in the land of Israel, what does the writer of Acts say about Jesus in his ministry? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. The same Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who wants to do a miracle for you tonight, friend. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. Guess what? That Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago is present with us tonight. The Word of God says, "Where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them." How many here tonight are gathered in the name of Jesus? He's amongst us to do miracles tonight. He wants to do a miracle in your life. Jesus has got miracles in store to give to you. It's there for the taking. Your miracle is there for the taking. If it's deliverance or healing or financial provision, whatever it might be, you have to take it. But it requires one thing of you to take that miracle. What does Jesus require of you in order for you to receive that miracle? Friend, it takes faith. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, the thing that pleases God. And it goes like this. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So what that says to me is that with faith, it is possible to please God. Amen? "For he who comes to God must believe that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." What's a key element of faith? It's an open book test. Hebrews 11:6. What is a key element of faith? To believe that God exists. Just as much as you believe that the air you breathe exists. You can't see the air, but you believe it's there. You can't see God with your eyes, but you've got to believe He exists. Look at nature, as this brother was saying. Look at the sky, the shrubs, the plants, the trees, the grass, the complexity of the human body. It tells us that there is someone who created it. And that someone is God. It takes faith to believe he exists. Amen? You must believe that God exists. You have first got to believe that God exists before you can believe that he is able to reward you, according to Hebrews 11:6. How can you believe to receive something from someone that you do not even believe exists? It's illogical, right? You first have got to believe that this God that we cannot see with our eyes exists. And as you believe that, guess what? He is going to do a miracle in your life. God is good all the time, right? And all the time God is good. Let's say it tonight. God is good. All the time. And all the time. God is good. Now let me ask you tonight. What are the attributes of this faith that God is looking for? Remember, God has this miracle for you. It's there for the taking. How do you take it? By faith. Right? It's found in the life of a man called Bartimaeus. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52. The faith that God is looking for is seen in the life of Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked the man. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. What kind of faith did Bartimaeus have? It's the kind of faith we need. The kind of faith that God is looking for in us.
The God kind of faith.
The God kind of faith. Okay, blind faith, I heard someone say. Somebody else?
Absolute.
Absolute, okay. God is looking for persistent faith. A faith that does not quit. A faith that does not give up on believing God what he has promised you in his word. Look at Bartimaeus. When he heard that Jesus was coming around, he said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And they told him, "Be quiet. Be quiet." But he cried out yet, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." They told him to kind of shut his mouth. Leave Jesus alone. But he persisted. He would not give up. He kept calling out to Jesus because he knew that Jesus could heal him. Amen? You know, verse 47 gives the impression that he knew about Jesus and his miracle working power. Let's look at verse 47 of Mark 10. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." When he heard that it was Jesus. This kind of indicates that he knew about Jesus, right? He knew about the miracle working power of Jesus. And it was like he was waiting for the day that Jesus would pass by. Do you kind of get that impression? Because as soon as he heard that it was Jesus, he said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." He was waiting, but friends, we don't know how long he was waiting. He could have been waiting for a good, long time for Jesus to pass by and perform a miracle in his life. He was patient. He was persistent in believing that God could heal him. Friend, let me ask you tonight, how long have you been believing God for your miracle? You might be saying tonight, "Well, Jonathan, I've waited for a week, and the finances still haven't come in." I've been waiting a month, and it still hasn't happened. It's been a year. Where's my provision? Where's my peace on the inside? Where's this relationship that needs to be reconciled? Do you remember Abraham of the Old Testament? He was 75 when God promised him that he would be the father of a great nation. When God promised him, I'll make you into a great nation. He was 75. How old was Abraham when the promised son was born? He was 100. How long did Abraham believe in faith for the promised son? 25 years. He believed without wavering in his faith. He was persistent in believing God for the miracle son. Abraham was a man just like us. If Abraham could do it, so could we. You've been waiting a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. Abraham waited 25 years. Bartimaeus was waiting for his miracle on the roadside as a beggar until Jesus would one day pass by. Waiting and waiting, not giving up. So God is looking for persistent faith. And then he's looking for what other kind of faith? What's the other attribute of faith that God is looking for? Friend, he is looking for childlike faith. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What is this saying? It's saying that you must believe in him like a child believes in his daddy. Think of the little girl, and you might have been that little girl at one time, who loved her daddy, and she knew her daddy loved her. 3 years old, right? Daddy works hard all day, and at night, there's a knock at the door. Daddy's coming home from a hard day's work, and the little girl runs to the door, opens it, and runs into daddy's arms. She kisses daddy, daddy kisses her. That child has what in daddy? Doubtless faith and trust in daddy. Daddy provides her bed. Daddy provides her food. Daddy provides her shelter. Daddy provides her all the good things she needs. She does not for one moment doubt her daddy. She knows that her daddy loves her. She has a doubtless faith, a doubtless trust in her daddy. Well, guess what, friend? We've got a heavenly daddy who loves us. And that's the kind of faith he's looking for in us, a childlike, doubtless faith that does not doubt his goodness or his miracle working power for even a moment. Childlike faith. You know, sometimes you've just got to turn your mind off and stop thinking. Start thinking with your heart and stop thinking with your head. Just know that you know on the inside that what God has promised in his word, he will do for you. That's what faith is. What is faith? It's knowing in your knower on the inside of you that God is able to do the miracle in your life that you need according to his word and not doubting it. Amen? Friends, faith will cause your miracle to manifest. What type of miracle are you needing tonight? What type of miracle? Look at blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10:52. What did Jesus say to Bartimaeus? He said, your faith has healed you. He didn't say your doubt has healed you. Jesus said, your faith has caused this miracle to come into your life. And he's telling us the same thing tonight. It's your faith in the miracle working power of God that will cause his miracle to come into your life. A childlike faith that does not doubt and a persistent faith that does not give up. You've got to believe. How many here remember the woman with the issue of blood? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll just summarize the accounts here. She bled for 12 years, went to many doctors. She spent all that she had on these doctors. But then she heard about Jesus, the master physician. She went through the crowd trying to find Jesus. She touched his robe and she was healed. And what did Jesus say in Mark 5, verse 34? He said to her, "Daughter, your what has healed you? Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This woman, if you read the account in Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34, you'll see that this woman knew that she knew that she knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus could heal her. She pressed through the crowd trying to find Jesus, and she reached out in faith and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Jesus said, "I felt power going out of me. Who touched me?" And what did the disciples say? "Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? There's people crowding around you, bumping into you." But he said, this was a different kind of touch. This woman touched him with the touch of faith. And that's the touch he wants from you. The touch of faith. And when you touch him with faith, he's going to bring about that miracle in your life. Knowing that you know. You've got to believe in the Word of God. Exactly. You've got to believe what the Word of God says will happen. That His Word will not return to you void. Remember the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Remember that account? "Have mercy on us, son of David." And Jesus went to them and said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said to them, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. They were able to see. "According to your faith, will it be done unto you?" And the word applies to us tonight, friends. According to your faith, will it be done to you? You've got to believe and you've got to know that you know on the inside that what God said in His Word, that what God has promised you concerning your miracle will come to pass. Don't doubt it for a second. Just keep on keeping on. Amen? You know, I was at the Tulsa Dream Center. How many here know the Tulsa Dream Center? 46th Street North in Cincinnati. Was at the Tulsa Dream Center back in March of this year, March of 2008. And there was a man in that meeting who was ill. He had a back problem. Could hardly bend and could hardly walk. He came to the service that night in March. And just believing that God could heal him. So I shared the message and I had an altar call. He came forward. I prayed a simple prayer over him. And friends, I kid you not, after the prayer he was like, "My back is completely healed." He was set free. And he started to jump up and down and started to get excited, ran around that room. He knew that God was able to heal him, and God healed him. He proved himself faithful to that man. He's a man just like you, just like us. If he did it for that man, he could do it for you and me. You got to believe that you believe without beyond the shadow of a doubt. Emotional peace. You may be needing the miracle of emotional peace tonight. Maybe you can't sleep at night. Your mind is constantly working. What's worry? Worry is thinking about the same thing over and over and replaying it over in your mind again and again and again and again. And the enemy's trying to throw worry and anxiety at your mind. You just can't sleep. Got no peace on the inside. You know, I saw something written outside of a jewelry store recently, and it said this. It said, "Concerning the stock market nowadays, I sleep like a baby." Because, you know, the stock market has really taken a hit over the last couple of months. Concerning the stock market nowadays, I sleep like a baby. I wake up every 2 hours crying. You know what, friends? It may not be the stock market in your life, but it may be where your next meal is coming from. Will this relationship be reconciled? Will you have a better career by the end of this year? Will you even have a job by the end of this year? And every 2 hours, you don't have to be like that baby that wakes up every 2 hours crying, right? You don't have to be like that baby. You can sleep like a log with the miracle of God called peace. He wants to give it to you. Look at Matthew chapter 17 if you have a Bible. Matthew chapter 17. The healing of a boy with a demon. Verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Here's the key verse, verse 20. Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Those disciples could not drive the demon out because they didn't have faith. But Jesus brought peace to this tormented boy, because Jesus is full of faith. Your mountain may be a mountain of anxiety and worry, nervousness, fear. They're all related. Thinking about things over and over and over again. God wants to give you His peace so that you can sleep at night. But you've got to have what? What's the key? Faith that God can give you this peace. You know, every time the enemy tries to throw worry and anxiety and fear at your mind, this is what you tell him. You know what, devil? My trust is in God. God has got my back. You're not going to throw this anxiety and worry at me anymore. It's all in God's hands. He's got it under control. So you leave me in the name of Jesus. And once he knows that your trust and your rest is in God, he's going to leave you. He's not going to torment you with worry and anxiety and fear anymore. Amen? Amen? Friend, if you settle it deep down in your heart that you're resting in faith, that God has got the situation under control, then guess what? Worry and anxiety cannot make an entrance into your life anymore. Just trust God. Let God take care of it. God's got your back. Maybe the miracle you need tonight is for financial provision. Financial provision. How many need more finances? Jesus is the miracle working God. In the same chapter of Matthew, Matthew 17, you know, the collector of the 2 drachma tax, verse 24, came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. Verse 27, the key verse. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. And what did Peter do? It's understood here. Peter went out, he went fishing, he opened the mouth of the first fish that he caught, and in the mouth of the fish was a financial provision to pay the collector of the temple tax. What did Peter have on the inside for this financial provision? He had faith. Such great faith that the first fish he caught in its mouth was the money to pay the tax collectors. Do you have that kind of faith? Now, I want to share just a last story here with you. A while back, I was in this church, And the pastor got up one evening and shared with us that he was very ill. Very serious disease. And as he spoke, he kind of communicated that God had some greater purpose behind this illness. And the impression that I got from this person was that his faith was weak. So I was thinking to myself, God can heal you. And I was disturbed about this. Why is this pastor communicating this way? He's sick and seems like he doesn't have the faith to get well. God, why is this? Why is he sick? Why isn't he receiving his healing? I thought about it. It bothered me. I prayed about it. And I believe that God dropped something into my spirit. And this is what I believe it was. And this is what I know it was. You cannot expect to receive something from God that you do not have faith in God for. Let me say it again. You cannot expect to receive something from God that you do not have faith in God for. You know, if you don't have faith that God can provide for you financially, you're not going to receive financial provision. On the other hand, if you have faith, like Peter did, that God can provide for you financially, then he will. If you don't have faith that God can heal your sick body, then he won't. But if you have faith that God can heal you, then, let's say it together, he will. Say it, he will. If you don't believe that God can bring peace to your turmoil, then he won't. But on the other hand, if you believe that God can bring you peace, then guess what? Let's say it together, he will. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God if you only believe. Amen? The miracles of Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. And your faith in God will bring about the miracle in your life.